call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Welcome to Love and Inspiration on 102.7 FM. I'm your host, Roy Cotton Jr. Remind you that this outrageous show can be heard every Sunday at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time here on 102.7 FM from out of St. Martin. And if you've missed an episode of the show, of course, you can listen to a rebroadcast of the week before on voiceofthecaribbean.net, 8 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time on Sunday nights and on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Atlantic Standard Time. If you would like to listen to a new episode of Love and Inspiration, go on to BashaniRadio.com. You can also download the Bashani Radio app and you'll be able to listen to all the episodes that you have missed on BashaniRadio.com or the Bashani Radio app for Love and Inspiration and also great content from other radio shows. Well, it gives me a great pleasure, of course, as usual, to introduce you to another amazing guest here on Love and Inspiration. And today I'm going to be speaking to Wendy LaVita. That's Wendy LaVita straight out of South Africa. And Wendy is a community development practitioner, counselor, wellness consultant, social entrepreneur, aspiring author, and she is at this point in time the founder and director of the nonprofit organization Beautiful Life Training Community Development. So it's really a great pleasure, of course, to connect with her on Love and Inspiration. And just letting you know that this individual is a professional in every way. She holds a master's degree in psychology from the University of Stellenbosch, BA Honors degree in Counseling Psychology from the University of South Africa, BA in Health and Social Sciences, also from the University of South Africa, University of Cape Town, Graduate School of Business, Certificate Leadership Course for Partnerships in Extended Education, and First and Second Year Bible School, Every Nation Church in South Africa. It is amazing, amazing to speak with this young lady as you're going to be listening to right now on Love and Inspiration. So let's go straight over to connecting here with Wendy LaVita straight out of beautiful South Africa.
Hello, Roy. I'm fine, thank you.
Fantastic. Pleasure to have you on the show. How is the weather in South Africa at this point in time?
It's lovely. You know, we have warm days and we have cool days, and today was a misty day, but it wasn't too cold. It's still sunny, although we're starting out now. We're going into winter.
Oh, wow. Getting into winter. That's really interesting because we're getting into summer, June, so it's very interesting to know that you're getting into winter over in that part of the world, which is also June. That's very interesting. So I wish you well as you get into winter in June, and as we get into summer in June, that I wish as well that we don't get too hot. How about that?
You're so lucky. I'd love to be there. If I had millions, I'd be traveling right over there right now.
Definitely. No worries. God always provides, and one of these days you will be on beautiful St. Martin, this part of the world. Let's just let the listeners know a little bit about you. As I have here before me, and that is something I would like to share with him this far, Wendy is passionate about education and believe in lifelong learning. And she has a diverse career history in people being people-oriented and professions such as direct selling, marketing, entrepreneurship, fundraising, and much more. Now, I can actually, by just reading a little bit of that person who has always been active in what you do, from the Graduate School of Business in Leadership Course for Partnerships and Extended Education and First and Second Year Bible School, Every Nation Church from South Africa. Wendy, wow, this is amazing from what I'm hearing about you. I just want to just then talk to you, your passion, because it's stated your passion about education and believing in lifelong learning. Talk to us a little bit, Wendy, on why is that?
I love learning on my own, actually, you know. I'm motivated to learn by myself. I didn't always like going to school, but, you know, studying on my own is what I did most of my life from, you know, since I left school, when I actually dropped out of high school and then went to part-time studies, and that's when I got the passion to study and never stopped.
You got the passion to study and never stop. And the interesting thing is you said about with high school, you know, not being able to continue from there. What was the reason? Was there anything that happened that you were not able to continue? But despite whatever, you still pursued your master's. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Well, I left school because I didn't do well at school. You know, subjects at school were not the ones that was made for my personality. I was doing maths and history and geography, and I wasn't doing well at those subjects. But when I left to study on my own, I did marketing and communication, people-orientated skills, part-time at college, and that's why I actually did so much better. And that's when I became interested in counseling, and I listened to Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, and that's why I became a psychologist, because he actually mentored me. I sat at his feet listening to his programs every night when he was on radio.
That's very interesting, because you're saying two very important things, and especially for persons who are listening now, who may be feeling that, you know, because they have not been able to finish high school or complete any part of the education, that you discovered for yourself that there was a passion, and there was that, even self, that passion, but also that part of you that was grabbing you, were able to put those skills into practice and felt good about it, where you said you went into areas of professions that was school-oriented, and at the same time, you actually listened to a very important program, Family, Focus on the Family, and that empowered you to go into the direction of counseling and psychology. So can you share, or in let's say empower someone out there at this point in time who may be feeling and thinking that, hey, I may not have been able to achieve such, maybe I should just throw in the towel. What can you say to someone?
I believe that it doesn't matter where you come from. I'm a Cape Flats child, a township child, and I have excelled in areas that I never thought I would possibly be able to go to go to the University of Stellenbosch. It's unheard of in my community where I come from, really. Very few people are accepted at that university. So it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're older or whether you're starting out at age 40 when I went to start at university to do my first degree, or whether you start when you're 20 or 17. You know, I just believe you have the ability, and I believe that, you know, we have God-given potential. And, you know, if you believe that you can actually overcome anything, if you just step out, take a step, and just try your best. And, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to pass. And I've failed a few times, but I've never given up.
Failed a few times, but you never give up. You never gave up. So what was the driving force for you? What was really the engine that actually kept you going? Because you said from the small town where you came from, this is such a big achievement. Not everyone had the opportunity as such. So what was your driving force that kept you going, Wendy?
You know, I really wanted to set a standard for my family. And now that family members, just my one and only Giselle, my daughter, for her to achieve and to, you know, finish a PhD one day. And also for the rest of my community where I come from, to set an example for young people at school to pursue their dreams.
As I think about it, you talked about your daughter and doing what you do, you know, in order to actually help and have your daughter complete her PhD. Now, you say a reach or achieve such in life, that's it. But at the same time, from what you've achieved, it served as a catalyst and an empowerment for your daughter, or even so for you, to actually have your daughter achieve her dreams. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, she's at this point, you know, she's pursuing her master's and she's planning to finish and do a PhD as well.
Oh, and what is her PhD going to be in? Do you know when?
Law.
She's keeping that a secret for you. In law. Oh, wow.
She's doing law school.
Fantastic. Fantastic. This is really empowering. I am here with Wendy Levita from out of South Africa, and we're having a very, very important conversation, as you think too, that I'm sure you are going to just want to hear more as we continue with this conversation. How to victoriously overcome life's challenges. That is, how to victoriously overcome life's challenges. And as we continue to speak, you're going to actually realize how to victoriously overcome your life's challenges. So, Wendy, I just wanted to look at the following with you, because most problems persons may not know anything about where you grew up, which is the Cape Flats in South Africa. Can you share with us a little bit about what is the Cape Flats in South Africa and just a little bit of what it was like for you growing up in the Cape Flats?
Roy, the Cape Flats in South Africa is on the outskirts of Cape Town, which is a very beautiful city. And people who live on the Cape Flats are subjected to an atmosphere of poverty, high unemployment, crime, violence, and also there are others who are educated, so it's a mixture, but it's predominantly people of color who live on the Cape Flats and who have disadvantage and not privileged. You know, the very few of them are educated, and they're mostly working in, you know, the factory, or their children are not going to school, and they're in a lot of stress because of that. And single parents, at least one in four children come from a single parent home. They are fatherless often. Mm. However, I had a father, but he was absent even though he was present.
That's really powerful as you say that. Yes, continue. We're listening.
And my mom was uneducated. She came from a fisherman's village in the outside of the Cape Town area in the country. She came to Cape Town to work as a domestic worker when she met my father and married him. And I have two siblings, a brother and a sister.
I see. I can appreciate very much so what you shared thus far with us. And what I want to hone in on to, Wendy, is the following that, you know, having a father but somewhat absent. What was that like for you as a young girl growing up, especially when, you know, you normally hear about these little girls or daughters have a good, you know, connection with their father, looking at him. What was that like for you, especially as you stated, coming from the environment that you came from, and I'm not your first out of the siblings. Can you share with us, Wendy?
Well, as a young girl, I always wanted attention. I loved attention, you know, so I ended up, you know, having lots of boyfriends and always looking for love and attention. Because my father was also a party person, a lot like me, but he partied most of the time and wasn't there. And I ended up feeling as though I, you know, needed to get attention from the opposite sex, but I never got it from my dad because he was, you know, he had a drinking problem. And my mom was trying to, you know, do both jobs, but, you know, I still needed that affection and that attention. So I never felt as though I was his little girl, even though I always thought I was someone else's little girl. I never felt like I was his little girl.
Say that you sometimes felt like you were somebody else's little girl. When that thought comes to mind, how would you say, how dangerous can that be actually? If you are in your mind thinking that you're somebody else's little girl than rather from your father.
Well, I didn't think I was someone else's little girl. I just think that I always wanted to be his little favorite, but I never felt loved and accepted. So because he was always out, always having friends over, going to the friends, he was not spending time with us. So he was absent in that sense. And I always wanted attention. So I had lots of boyfriends because I wanted to be someone special girl. And I think that's what happens when in a relationship, in the father-daughter relationship, if you're not getting affirmation from your father, you're going to look for it outside and trying to find it in other relationships.
I see. And is that something that you recognize that happens quite a bit in the Cape Flats, if you're just moving away a little bit from yourself? Because especially since you are a psychologist counselor, is that something that you see come up from time to time in Cape Flats with persons that you work with?
I would agree. I think that is definitely one of the things that is a factor that's affecting our young girls who are pregnant at a very young age. Often they have babies outside of wedlock.
And how often are you seeing that in the work that you do? Because you are the founder of Beautiful Life Training and Community Development, you know, the nonprofit organization that you lead. Do you get a lot of persons that walking would experience this sort of background, or would you say not really?
Well, it's common practice, one would say, you know, it's the norm almost, so to speak, in the community that I come from on the Cape Flats. Just, you know, on a lighter note, if I'm just going to give you an example of how it's perceived by other society members in other races. A friend of mine was getting married, and she had already had a baby, and she was going to get married to the father of her baby, and she was having another baby. And he you said to her, oh, okay, well, in your community, that's the way you do it, don't you? You have your children before you get married. So that's the sad truth of the community. A lot of our young women have babies before they get married. Not that that's the culture, but that's unfortunately what happens because they're looking for affirmation. They're looking for stability and they want to have a family just often because they never had that type of life before in their own nuclear family where they come from a single mom only, raising them alone.
That's very interesting, as you said, Wendy, because that in itself affects basically how persons would perceive his or her life and also to affect all aspects of life. And that's what leads me on to the fact that your life, you've experienced quite a lot in your life growing up in the Cape Flats, as we've heard earlier. You were wanted to be your father's little girl, looking for that attention. And I can imagine today in the part of the world where you are in your beautiful country, there are persons who are going through so much looking for some meaning of life. And then, of course, life happens to him or her. Now, you are in a position where, for instance, your organization is called Beautiful Life Training Community Development Profit Organization. Also, that we're talking about how to victoriously overcome life challenges. Can you share with us on what is the drive that keeps you alive, your life, power to live? Because a lot has happened, and I've explained all of those aspects just now. What is keeping you going and having an organization itself?
I was inspired to start Beautiful Life Training and Community Development because I saw that families are in crisis on the Cape Flats, but I also saw a lot of potential in people on the Cape Flats and in the Western Cape and not only on the Cape Flats. You know, I think that Beautiful Life was never my idea just to be for one community as such. It's actually a model which I wanted to implement in other communities globally, starting in Cape Town. But the idea was because if I can do something with my life, then I believe that others also can. And so with support, I believe you can go up. And without support, you can spiral down to the street. So I felt that because I've been working in community development for other nonprofit organizations for a long time, people often end up on the street is because of a lack of support. And Beautiful Life is really about building partnerships between families, between businesses and communities to collectively help to eradicate poverty and unemployment and loss and the feeling of meaninglessness and could lead to despair. So Beautiful Life is about that, a lifestyle that is together, like our motto says, shaping a generation together. And this is all, I believe, inspired by God.
I can hear you definitely on that one, Wendy. All that you do is inspired by God. And I'm sure, as you're saying this, you know exactly what you've been through and why you see that. That is all inspired by God to lead you to the point of helping persons live a victorious life, overcoming life's challenges, and briefly understanding from your life coming up in the Cape Flats, it has not been always easy, and I can hear very much from you what you're saying, that it is a testimony of God's invention in your life that has you to where you are and what you're doing. And as we're saying that, I just want listeners to know that I'm speaking right now with Wendy LaVita. That's Wendy LaVita from out of South Africa. So we're connected with her now in beautiful South Africa, the Cape Flats, and she's a community development practitioner, counselor, wellness consultant, social entrepreneur, aspiring author, which you're going to hear about just very soon, and she's the founder, director of the nonprofit organization Beautiful Life Training Community Development. She holds a master's degree in psychology from the University of Stellenbosch and a bachelor's of honors degree counseling in psychology, University of South Africa, and doing really great work in her part of the world as you're listening right now. Wendy, persons want to, while they're listening, check out your website. What is your website and have a look at it while we're speaking?
It's www.beautifullifecommunity.co.za.
And can you just repeat that for persons to hear that? Because I know you have a beautiful South African accent. So the website is again?
www.beautifullifecommunity.co.za. beautiful life community.co.za.
Wonderful, wonderful. I've taken note of that myself, and I'm sure that persons have. And we're looking into something very interesting, Wendy. I stated a while ago that you are an aspiring author. Now, I'm not sure if you have written a book before, or this is going to be your first book that is coming up, but just to give persons a little idea, you are working on a very powerful book that is going to be coming out. I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but can you just give us a little idea so that we are really enticed in getting your book, especially from hearing briefly about your story and what you're doing? What is coming, when?
Well, you know, the book is all about life, and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to try my best to have it translated into La Vie, which is the life in French, La Vita, which is the life in Italian, and possibly into Afrikaans, which is Leva. So it's all about the life. You know, often we go through struggles in life, and this book is actually about the victories and the challenges that this young woman who lives in South Africa on the Cape Flats has overcome. It's a book for women of all ages who longs for acceptance and love and has experienced loss, abuse, trauma. It's a story of resilience in the face of ongoing adversity and struggles. And it's my intention to encourage women and young girls to follow their dreams no matter what. You know, life is about the passions and fears and trauma of a South African woman who grew up in a marginalized community. And it's a journey that she's gone through, you know, over the years, from babyhood or toddlerhood to adulthood or late adulthood, and a dysfunctional family with a father who was absent and an alcoholic, and a brother who was manic depressive or bipolar. So, and it's a story of her struggle to survive and to achieve and to feel loved and appreciated and to accomplish her dreams, and a longing for acceptance. So life is all about her zest for life and her amazing ability to fight against attacks on her life, and the story of her romance and all the things that she went through as a young woman into old age. And there's also a little bit about her fun times and also about God's intervention in her life and how she's met some famous people in South Africa, like heart surgeon Chris Barnard, just to mention one of the people in her life that she's come across, and also had the privilege of meeting, and that, you know, where she's come from, being down in the dumps, knowing, and she knows what it is not to have bread and butter and what it is to have caviar. That's the story.
Wow. Wendy, yes, it is definitely a must read. As I listen to you share about what's going to be in that book that is being produced or in production now, whatever you want to call it, I'm super excited. And, you know, even though you said how it is actually helped young girls and women, but as a man, I am eager and really wanting to get my hands on that book. I wish that we can just go to sleep right now. And that's how powerful it sounds. But I'm going to have to contain myself, Wendy, and wait patiently, because patience is a virtue, until when your book is launched. How do you feel about that, Wendy? Are you super excited too?
I'm amazed at that response. Nah, thank you so much. I'm honored.
Definitely. I am super excited. I'm sure everyone who's listening right now is just saying we're going to be as patient as we can until when that book arrives from Wendy La Vita. Sounds amazing, powerful. It really touches on a lot that individuals are experiencing in whatever magnitude are, and it will demonstrate definitely how to victoriously overcome life's challenges. I'm super excited for you, Wendy, and I'm looking forward to when that book comes out, because you're going to be back on my show, of course, to talk about that book when it's about to be launched, and everyone listening on the show at that time will be able to know how to get their hands onto your new. Now, Wendy, as we want to just talk a little bit about two very other important things so a person know who they're talking with here or listening to on the show. Now, during the time, and of course, it's just giving a little bit of an insight of what you've been through, right? As far as I understood, during your time of growing up, you also favor and also have had a victory over violent crime. Yeah, violent crimes and all the light that has happened in the Cape Flats. Can you share just briefly an experience that you do recall where you can say today, this is an example how I victoriously overcame that life challenge, if you don't mind? Just one, important thing you'd like to share.
Well, as I mentioned, I come from the Cape Flats. And it's a drug-infested area amongst beautiful people. And because of drugs, I was attacked by two men while we were at a roadhouse. And we were in the road and, having a meal, waiting for our meal. And they smashed the vehicle that we were in with these massive pangas. And if you don't know what a panga is, it's a massive knife used for cutting down trees. But they smashed the vehicle, the windows. And we got out. And after that, he demanded my bag and I refused to give it to him because I was just panicking. And that's when he slashed my face with this massive panga. And I lifted up my hands. But while all of this was happening, God was saying to me, rebuke this demon. And I'm arguing in my head saying, Lord, but he's not going to listen to me. And I'm just not thinking clearly. And the very next minute, I was covered in blood and I was really badly hurt. My hands were badly hurt. And these two thugs ran away and I was hospitalized. And after some surgery, I was able to come out of hospital, but badly traumatized. My hand needed sutures after the operation, and it was my left hand. And I couldn't really use my hand, and I had to go for therapy, which was really bad because the doctors at the general hospital weren't very patient. And so I went through a lot of pain, and they forced us really to do the treatment. Occupational therapy was horrible. And the worst part of all of this was that my mom never wanted me to go out at night. So I'd been going out and she'd ask me, where you going? So I couldn't tell her that I'd been attacked. I'd had to, withhold that information and just said I was in an accident. But in the meantime, I was traumatized because every time I heard a glass break, I would relive what happened in the vehicle with the glass shattering. So that's a symptom of post-traumatic stress disorder. The hospital never sent me for counseling. So I couldn't talk about it to anyone for many years. I couldn't tell anyone about it. And the scars are still on my hand and on my face. But given time, I got over accepting that and no longer need to wear makeup to cover the scars in my face. And because it happened on a Thursday, I was even afraid to go out on a Thursday night. But God engineered that I could overcome that fear. And I started going to home cell at church. And it was on a Thursday night, which we had the home cell, which is a prayer meeting, and we engage in fellowship. And I had to go out on a Thursday to overcome that. And many other little ways God was working with me to overcome this and also to go for counseling and get the training to overcome my own fear of going out and facing that terrible ordeal and putting it behind me and say, God was actually healing that wound, which was really difficult. So I know what it is for people who are traumatized and I can relate to that. And because of that incident, I can actually counsel people who's been through trauma. And God has healed me completely of it.
Wendy, as I listen to you share that story, I can only imagine what it was like then, and being able to speak about it right now to the listeners who are listening this very moment. As you stated, it is only God that could have intervened in your life to make that healing process complete. To share that right now with each and everyone that's listening, I really appreciate that you shared with us, because it's not an easy thing to have experienced then, but today, at this moment, you are alive and you have been able to overcome such. And this demonstrates once again how to victoriously overcome life's challenges as persons listen to you speak, which then, of course, corresponds to the fact that how perfectly you have been led to establish your organization, which is called Beautiful Life Training and Community Development, for persons to know that they, despite whatever they've experienced, can still have a beautiful life. Is that correct, Wendy?
That's right. joy. God has a plan for our lives. And, you know, I always say, you know, I could have prevented that if I had just stuck with God's plan. And I think even before this happened, there was an incident where I was at a church meeting where there was a call, an altar call for me to come forward. And I could feel that God was speaking to me. And I left that church without going back. He said to me, come back to me. The scripture was come back to me. And I walked out of that church. But a month or two later, that incident with the attack happened. And so I know God was trying to protect me incident, but I was drifting away. And so I believe he's always got a plan for our lives, to protect, to love us, and to be there for us, to be a father. And I think that's what I was always looking for. And he was saying to me, I am your father. And I was running from him, but he wants, and I'm back. And like, that's great. I'm just so glad he's my dad.
Wow. That is so amazing how you have just put it all together from the fact of what you said earlier in the interview of what he was looking for in your father, where your father was absent, but God was always there showing you that love and working with you through the process to know at a specific time, despite even though that traumatic experience that you've been through, that here I am, my daughter, that I was always here waiting for you. Come back to me. I am the father that you need to be with and will give you all the attention that you needed, even though your earthly father in his human frailty was unable to give you that. Is that making sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, this is amazing, Wendy. Absolutely, absolutely. I appreciate this. I am so much into this interview. I'm sure the listeners are saying, Roy, don't stop this interview. Talk to Wendy for another 25 years. But of course, interviews cannot go on for 25 years, right, Wendy?
Well, I don't think so. Well, we could arrange for every week.
Definitely, definitely. I just want to actually touch base on two final things before we come to the end of this really amazing conversation that we're having with each other. And I'm sure this is definitely classed as an award-winning interview with you. And that is, as I understood from your information that you sent me, I believe in the principles of Ubuntu. That's Ubuntu, meaning I am a person because of others. Can you share with us what that means? Because persons might not know all about Ubuntu and they're hearing it for the first time. What has led you to really believe in that principle, I am a person because of others? Share with us, Wendy.
Well, it's an African principle. It's pronounced Ubuntu. It means a shared humanity. And it really means that we need each other. I cannot function on my own. I'm not whole. You're a part of me. I'm a part of you. We need each other. Your child is my child. I am because you are. That's really what it means. And I embrace that because I realize that that's really God's idea when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. We need each other. We can't work this. We cannot live life without each other. And so I embraced Ubuntu in my own life. And I believe that, you know, every one of us should. And that's why I said, you know, even though it's an African principle, I would like for all of us across racial divides and cultural differences to embrace the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself and Ubuntu, I am because you are.
You know, I'm so happy that you've explained it, Wendy, because it's so relevant for the time that we're in at this point in time, especially for the fact that you know to all very well for the part of the world that you live in South Africa, where there has been and could be still relevant apartheid. And right now that is happening in the USA, where we're seeing discrimination that is happening or racism, and just tying that into Ubuntu, an African saying, you are, I am a person because of others. That's togetherness. How relevant is that right now for the fact of living in a country where there is and has been apartheid, and looking at what's happening right now across the world, in the Western part of the world, America, with racism, with all that is happening between races? Have we forgotten all about Ubuntu, where it originally comes from Africa? And here we are today, 2020, doing as if each and every person is not important, and that I am not who I am, or I am not a person because of others. It's all about me. Can you share with us, Wendy?
Well, you know, in South Africa, we have got our racial divides and struggles. You know, there are still those differences where there is discrimination, but a lot of hard work has gone into working across racial divides and acceptance. And, you know, we are working towards accepting one another, especially when it comes to the universities that are opening the doors to people of color like myself, who wasn't able to actually go to Stellenbosch University in the past. Lots of people are now being accepted at the university across different divides and from different backgrounds in our country.
So very relevant. And I'm happy to hear that there is progress in your country, South Africa, when it comes to that, as you've given the examples. Wendy, wow, it's so amazing having you on the show. I know it's been a while that we were supposed to connect and have you on the show. And I'm sure today being on the show is exactly what you've waited for patiently. Patience is a virtue. And here you are on a platform sharing your message to millions, and God has orchestrated it for you to have this wonderful opportunity. And I'm really happy to have you on here, Wendy. Well, now, Wendy, as we are about to round off this time together that has been really well spent, persons may not know the fact, because they're listening to your beautiful South African accent, which I'm enjoying myself, but it's not just English that you speak. What are the languages?
Boy, I speak English, Afrikaans, French, basic Italian, sign language, limited Khoisan, and I'm learning Mandarin.
That's powerful. And I speak Dutch, and I also speak English. English is my first language, and Dutch is the second. So look at that. I remembered, actually, that I didn't even recognize that, but when I listened to persons from South Africa speak Afrikaans, I realized, oh, yes, I could understand a little bit of Afrikaans. So I should actually add that to one of the languages that I could understand, Amoun, which I mentioned now, Papiamento, which is the language that is spoken on three beautiful islands in the Caribbean, which is Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. But I definitely have to learn some languages like how you have. You're very gifted, I must say. Can you just say something to us briefly in Afrikaans?
Goeienaand, want dis nou aan die son Suid Afrika, nie? So ek gaan nou sê goeienaand, en ek hoop julle gaan lekker slaap vanaand, hoor? Mooi bly, dis Wendy wat praat.
Mind translating that beautiful Afrikaans first there, Wendy?
I said good night. This is Wendy saying good night, because it's night time here in South Africa now, and you must sleep well and keep well.
Thank you so much for that, because it is afternoon time here on beautiful St. Martin. I really love the time differences. So it's night time for you and it's afternoon on St. Martin. The power connecting today on modern day technology. And Wendy, just as closing off, as you shared with me, became a person who really likes biking.
Well, you know, I got into biking with friends, and it's quite exciting to go for a run on a nice big Kawasaki. And we have beautiful drives in Cape Town. So yeah, along the beach or through the mountains, around the mountain. Yeah, great fun. Here I go on a bike with a guy. A nice big bike.
I see what you're talking about. I hear you. And when is it that you learned, actually, to be on the bikes that you did? At what age?
Well, you know, I was saying that I was biking as in a pillion, but I never went on a bicycle. So biking as a pillion was when I was between 26. And sadly, I couldn't ride a bicycle. So at age 30, I learned to ride a bicycle, because, you know, coming from the Cape Flats, I never had a bicycle really as a young girl. So I learned to ride a bicycle, my niece's chopper, at the time, to the most amusement of everyone in the neighborhood.
Wow,
but
that
now
is
I can ride a bicycle.
Fantastic. You see, I like the way how you said when you learn to ride. Or I remember back in the days, yes, when I was growing up, you had a BMX bike and you had the choppers. So that is really taking you back into some time, especially for those who are of a younger age right now, of this, you know, present generation. Like, oh, chopper? Okay, did you mean a helicopter or such? But but it's really, really nice to hear that, you know, you achieve that in life, and that you really do love being on, you know, motorbikes, going for lovely rides around the mountainsides there in Cape Town. It's been really a pleasure speaking with you. Once again, can you share the website to your amazing and beautiful community work that you do through your foundation, Beautiful Life Training and Community Development Center?
Beautiful Life Training and Community Development. The website is www.beautifullifecommunity.co.za. And we're also on Twitter, just Beautiful Life 24. You'll be able to find me. And I always tell people you can Google Wendy Lovely Beautiful Life and I will come up on your screen.
Fantastic. And that's a beautiful name, Wendy Lavita. And we can't wait for your book when it comes out. Definitely, I want to thank you for sharing your life story with us, your achievements, and what you're doing for your beautiful people in South Africa over at the Cape Flats. It's really a pleasure having you on the show, ladies and gentlemen. That is such an amazing person on the line, speaking with Wendy Lavita here on Love and Inspiration. And she is community development practitioner, counselor, wellness consultant, social entrepreneur, aspiring author. She is the founder and director of the nonprofit organization, Beautiful Life Training Community Development Center in South Africa. Your final thoughts, Wendy, as we close off this lovely time together?
I would just like to thank you very so much for this wonderful opportunity to be really and a privilege for me to have shared my story. And I would love to be able to inspire others. And if there's anyone who wants to contact me for counseling and support, I'm always available on the website or and you know, just to tell people, it doesn't matter where you come from, it's where you're going. God has a plan for your life. Walk in it. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of God's purpose and plan for your life. God bless.
Fantastic. Thank you for being on the show, Love and Inspiration with Roy Cotton Jr. on 102.7 FM.net and on Bashani Radio in New York, going out to over 2 million listeners worldwide. That was Wendy Lavita, my special guest on Love and Inspiration. Keep it locked in for much more here on your favorite radio show with Roy Cotton Jr.
The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.